We've never been brave. Feel this way. Little something to get me through this day. Give me a little thing. Don't talk bad. Won't have been a good day. So everybody needs. Feel the
pain. Sexy.
Sissy.
Just want to lick the whole album cover.
I feel my sexy growing. I feel like I done lost weight. I feel like I grew a six pack. That's how I feel.
I'm sorry.
So we said to say RIP to Mr. Roy Hargrove.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Yes,
I forgot he was featured on here.
Yeah, he co-wrote it.
Rest in power to Mr. Roy Hargrove. Hey, everybody. It is the last of our special election episodes, Brown Liquor Report, working with the lovely people of Faith Uncut. It's your boy, The Count, here back up in your ear hole. Here with my, well, without my favorite local DJ. He is out of town again. We miss you, bro.
We miss you.
Miss you, bro.
Show do.
But I'm still here with my sister, my dear friend, Jazz Hands.
Jazz Hands. Well, hello, mofos.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm trying to keep it PG since we on
Faith Uncut.
Like, we're sharing this. This is another episode of A Shot and a Prayer, so I want to make sure.
Right. This is our last episode of A Shot and a Prayer. Get out and vote. Vote, niggas. We're here with our dear friends, Amira B.
Hey.
And Mike.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I feel good. Yeah. It's a good day.
It is a good day. So it was a long week, as always, as these weeks in these last days and times of Mango Mussolini. But started with Tuesday. Tuesday with the midterm elections. America votes. This is what the whole past 2 years have been about. All the fighting, all the arguing, all of the debates, all the everything.
Since
November 10th, 2016.
We've been waiting.
Waiting for
November 6th, 2018.
To see what it was.
Great. You know, I was looking back at my Facebook memories, my timeline memories, and our videos were posted where we were at Busboys and Poets watching the results come in at the presidential election.
You're getting more and more depressed.
We were getting more and more depressed as the night was going on over the course of recording. Then by the end of the night, we were like, midterms start now. Start working on midterms now.
Exactly. So we made it to midterms.
Yes. And
what a midterms it was.
What
a high time in the Lord we had.
America, over 113 million people voted.
Yes.
That was the highest since 1965. Oh. People were motivated.
Do y'all remember what the country was like in 1965? Maybe that's why everybody came outside.
Right. It's very similar.
Stat I saw was the Republicans had, I'm sorry, the Democrats had 53.7 million.
Yes.
Republicans had 47.6 million. So Dems outpaced Republicans about 6 million votes.
Yes.
That's a lot of votes.
That's a lot of turnout.
Yeah, you can't tell that from the news because they were really, really down on it at first. But if you step back, take a couple days from this and see what's actually happened. This is still an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Votes are being counted. We're still seeing seats being called and
recalled and then being flipped again. You're seeing that in Arizona.
Yeah.
California routinely takes about a week to count all their votes because that's what they do. Arizona takes a long time. It's a gang of people.
Yeah, Arizona, they have a lot of the absentee ballots.
A lot of absentee ballots, and they come in batches.
Yeah.
So I think they said what needs to be made clear, despite what Cheeto in Chief says, this is the process.
Like, exactly.
The counting of the ballots is the process. They're exactly. not finding new votes.
Right.
This isn't fraud.
This isn't things that are happening on the fly. Like, right. this right. is the process and protocol that's been set up.
Yes. Right. This is democracy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Actually, nothing extraordinary has happened yet.
No.
So I think the first thing we should do is acknowledge mm-hmm. that people actually turned out, because yes, prior did. To Tuesday, we didn't know what
Thank
y'all
you
was
for
finna
listening
do.
To us.
Yes. So
everyone came out because they heard the show.
They did.
It That's was right. us. That's and, right. and you're welcome.
You're welcome.
And you're welcome.
Early voting, there was a lot of participation in various states. I saw stats saying that some people were like 100% more than what they had been yes. for early voting in the previous election, in the 2016. So that was important. Thank you guys for coming out. We had made a point on a previous show in this series about predatory satiation, and I think we got to that point where we just overwhelmed
the system
yes. enough that to overcome some design flaws
yes.
and some intentional design flaws to the system. So when you talk about Democrats having 6 million more votes, I think it's just important to say, you know, Democrats did make a lot of headway on mm-hmm. Tuesday, but it also, those high numbers of turnout also exposed the impact of some of the design flaws that are hard to see, like the gerrymandering mm-hmm. and voter suppression tactics. So I hope that people can look back at this election and say, wow, you know, I really learned more about this particular civic process. Because I think we were talking about, you know, not just getting out the vote for the one event, but really impacting voter behavior. And the way that we continue to do that is to educate.
Yes.
I agree.
It's the what now that mm-hmm. we said that voting is the beginning of your civic engagement.
Yes.
And then it's what you do after that. And that's what's really and really important. So the numbers, by the numbers, Democrats were able to flip 7 governorships with 3 trifectas, meaning they own the governor house and the state legislature.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's 6. That's up to 6. That's 6 of those.
6, man.
6 unified states.
Right. So that means they were looking at, as of today, about 35 House seats. They need 23. They got about 35.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have been able to mitigate the damage in the Senate to just 2
net two
yeah. for the Republicans.
May go down to a net 1
with a recall in Florida. So all in all, it was a great night, because the point was to flip the House.
Yeah, and
everything else was icing on the cake.
Everything was flipping. I mean, they flipped 350 state legislators. Ooh. That is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They had 317 districts move blue, mm-hmm. with it, and that move was, the average percentage was 10 points. I mean, they yeah. were, people got out and did their thing. I saw some people in my timeline saying, you know, they're still upset at people who didn't vote. No, the numbers, the data supports the people who were voting.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, Amara, people need to understand some of these other things that go into the process, the voter suppression and things like that. Though that's what we're fighting now, and mm-hmm. we're going to continue to have to fight that. But America did its job.
100%.
Right. So on Tuesday, I don't know how anybody else felt, but I definitely felt the anxiety of waiting for the various races to be called. But I would hope, you know, now by the time you guys hear this, it'd be a few days out. But I hope that everybody took care of themselves in that time, because I think a lot of it was just unresolved angst from 2016, kind of just probably went numb and just kind of powered through it. And this hasn't been an easy 2 years to get through, because the person who's orchestrating a lot of the media, that crushing media cycle and orchestrating a lot of this confusion, loves the spotlight, loves to have his name mentioned or whatever. And in the waning days of the campaign, we watched him make this all about him. So that voter response is about that person.
100%.
And so we took the House from a person who decided, I'm going to be the face of these midterms. Mm-hmm. We took those state legislatures from that person. We took those governorships from that person. So we did good.
Mm-hmm.
We did good.
Yes.
So
there is even, like, there are some considerable wins to celebrate.
Yes. And even in the losses, mm-hmm. there are wins.
Yes.
There are.
So in Texas, the race between Beto O'Rourke and Mr. Punchable Face Ted Cruz.
Raphael,
and don't you forget it.
Right, Raphael, born in Canada, half Cuban, Raphael. Mm-hmm. The reason it was a win is because Texas is one of the few states that has straight ticket voting. Mm-hmm. You can press the button, everyone, you can vote straight Democratic or straight Republican. Yep. So even though Beto did not win, he lost by about 2%, yeah, which is 3%, yeah, incredible for a statewide Democrat in Texas to beat, yes, an incumbent, right? He got more votes than Hillary, but his effect on the lower, the down ballot Democrats, yeah, mm-hmm, was, it can't be overstated.
Right.
He effectively wiped out the judiciary in Harris County.
Huge. Yeah.
19 incumbent Republican judges.
19 yes. incumbent Republican judges. The reason that's important is because when you wipe out a party's bench, that means they don't have anyone to go to when next election cycle.
You're appealing like yeah. they're...
Like you're wiping out who they're going to go to next to be the state legislature, yep. to be the next state senator, to be the next whomever. So, for example, Roy Moore in Alabama was a judge mm-hmm. for 20 years.
Yep.
They're all Democrat, and they're all women. They're all black women.
Hey.
So,
hey. So, you're welcome.
You're
with
welcome.
Natural heads. So, them twist out was popping in them pictures. Right?
So the fact that even though he did not win, he was able to lift all boats.
Yeah.
He was able to flip state Senate seats, able to flip state legislatures, all of that from that energy. And that organization is there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in a state where it is, I think, the 48th most difficult state to register voters, and it is the 49th most difficult state to vote in, he was able to register more than a million new people. Mm.
Texas is big. You gotta drive everywhere. It's no
Texas yeah. is like its thing, own man. Country.
Yeah, you try, you try to go to CVS in
they
Texas.
They actually wanted it to be that.
There was a whole like, no, war no. around that.
They still wanted to be that. And that yeah. organization is like, oh no, we're flipping Texas.
But yeah, like, I mean, that's huge. Two congressional seats flipped. They had 12 state delegates flipped. Mm-hmm. That's, and then with the judges, that's a lot of protection yep. for people of color.
Yes. Like,
you got people, your family members, whoever, everyone going up there now that they actually have people who see them.
Yes.
And hope that's what you hope with.
That's what you hope, yes.
Yeah, so I mean that's a huge win for Texas. They just haven't had that debate. He wasn't expected to win.
No.
And I think he outperformed the expectations. Because mm-hmm. to get to 2%, that's insane. He almost had that.
I think he outperformed, and I think Cruz knows he outperformed. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's very aware of what the implications are. Like,
wait a minute.
It took a couple days, but even the same thing happened in Maryland yeah. where the Governor Hogan, was able to retain his seat as mm-hmm. the incumbent. But we put a cap on the legislature.
Yes. Everything else is blue beneath
yeah,
him.
Yeah, everything else is blue. And the big five counties in Maryland have Democratic county executives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which means, back to your bench comment, the bench is wiped out for the Republican Party in Maryland. They mm-hmm. don't have anybody to kind of develop into this
next role.
Yeah, like into these next contenders. Yeah. I was actually hoping that Andy Harris would like get up out of here. I was hoping that the Eastern Shore was mad enough about the whole crab picking controversy around immigration, but whatever. He was still there. But when it was reporting 1%, it was like lopsided. I was like, oh my God. Because nobody, he's the only Republican that Maryland sends to Congress.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hopeful because I was just paying attention. And mm-hmm. I was like, that would be huge. Like, that's a seat nobody even thinks
right.
that, you know, would be in play. But okay, whatever. He's still there.
But also in Maryland, they're going to have an independent council, an independent commission redraw the district lines in 2020.
Yeah.
So so Maryland is a bit gerrymandered.
It is.
Yeah, it's a bit. So they're going to be redrawn.
Which is just another long form of voter suppression.
Right. And I mean, so that congressional district that they keep talking about in Maryland, when they redraw it, it's going to affect Democrats,
yeah,
actually.
Hogan's been trying to do that since he's
so,
got in.
So that's the one thing. But he doesn't do this with the protection of a Republican legislature.
Right. Right.
So there will be some balance to the redrawing of that map. But yeah, like when they do this.
That's what it is. Yeah. I think sometimes people, when they hear voter suppression, they think of things that they may be seeing in like Eyes on the Prize and, you know, like this very overt, like aggressive action. It's so subtle.
It really is.
And it takes a long time. So even when you think about like a lot of these close races and all the little, you know, tactics that went into play, like down there in Georgia and Florida and other places, even here, running out of ballots. Where are the extra machines?
Right.
Extra machines.
I'm missing page two.
I'm missing page two. Oh, the machines aren't working. It's too humid. It's just all these
North Carolina. What?
Little subtle things. Because, of course, it would look really, really outrageous for there to be like a landslide win as a result of voter suppression.
Right.
But just enough. These little, 30,000.
It's the inconveniences.
40,000. 50,000. Just enough for people to leave and not participate in the process. It's so interesting. So that gerrymandering, like, it starts early. Like, it takes a lot of work to redistrict and re-zone.
And the wins that we have are also important as we head into the 2020 census. Because now you have state legislatures and those flip governorships that will be paying attention to how that census count goes down in their state. Mm. So apparently there's pushback at the federal level for this citizenship question on the census.
Yes.
So this is important as far as who's in the states to just kind of keep an eye on that, because it's like, you don't think about some of the stuff that you give to an administration when you're voting every 4 years, but this particular person is going to oversee the counting of the citizenship for 10, you know, for 2020, and that count will stand for 10 years. That's how states get federal funds. That's how you get mostly when we talk about federal funds, I'm talking about all across the board. So it's hugely important, because if you have people saying, oh, I can't participate because of my citizenship status or any sort of intimidation to the count, things go undercounted and you go underfunded. So
that is exactly. That's an aspect. Races that have yet to be decided. Yeah, Florida. Races that haven't been decided yet. You have Florida, Florida governorship, and the Florida Senate race with
Nelson and Scott.
Scott
just went down, right? So Nelson is up, the last I heard.
Yeah. As of this recording.
It goes back and forth, because that's what's happening in Arizona with Kristen Sinema.
Sinema, she was up by 3,000 last time I saw, but they comes in batches.
Let's be clear that it's the rule of law that is triggering these recounts and possible runoffs. This is not one party saying this is what we want to do, or we want to steal or take something from somebody else. This is like in your state's constitution.
So what prompts
your body of laws?
What prompts a recount versus a runoff?
So in Georgia, a runoff is if no candidate gets more than 50%.
Okay.
Then there's a runoff, which is a whole new election.
And everybody comes back.
Everybody comes
to
back.
Vote again.
It's a whole new election. A recount depends on the state. So in the state of Florida, a machine recount is automatically triggered if the difference between the first and the second place is below 0.5%. So as of yesterday, that happened. So we're going to a recount, and that's in any race, from state senate, governor, anything. So that's why the senate and the governorship are going to a recount. Also, concession speeches are not legally binding.
They're not contracts.
It doesn't matter. A concession speech is basically
pleasantries.
It's a pleasantry. It's you saying, okay, I respect the will of the voters, and I will concede at this time based on what we know right now. But as more votes come in, as more information becomes clear, we need to respect the will of the voters.
Exactly. Well, your concession doesn't outweigh the rule of law.
Exactly.
So you can concede, but like in the case of Gilliam, who already conceded, but his concession does not matter because we've reached the threshold of an automatic recount. So,
you want the votes counted in a democracy.
Yes,
so.
You want the votes counted, and any media noise to the contrary is just that. It's
just noise. One of the things I'm seeing is there's an undervote of the state Senate race, and they're saying it can be one of two things. And it's in Broward County, which is encompasses some of Miami.
Fort Lauderdale, right.
Heavily Democratic, but the design of the ballot was such that the Senate race and the congressional races the ballot, the bubbles were on the left side of the ballot under the instructions, and they looked like instructions. So people may have skipped them and gone straight to the governor race in the middle of the ballot. So that's just old people not knowing how to read. I'm sorry. Florida going to Florida, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to come in. That's coming in the next few days. In Georgia, they're going towards something different, which is a possibly a runoff.
Which is what you want, because they had a third party candidate running in that election.
But this
I was so mad when I saw that breakdown.
This was the most blatant form of voter suppression you saw anywhere.
Yeah, they had the whole repertoire of voter suppression they had.
Everything.
They closing, put everything in play.
They pulled out 500,000 voters at the beginning of this year.
Right. Purging voters.
Purging voters.
Confusing voters. Changing the precinct. Closing precincts.
Then the day of, they had not enough machines.
No power cords.
The day after, they found a warehouse in Atlanta with over 700 freshly wrapped functioning voting machines that could have been distributed.
Kemp's, that just weren't.
Kemp's office said that, oh, well, this was because of a lawsuit. We couldn't put them out. Come to find out, the lawsuit didn't say anything about not putting out voting machines. Like, oh, y'all are all full of shit. Like, y'all are full on full of shit. Eventually, Brian Kemp resigned as
Secretary of State.
Finally.
So
it wasn't finally. He thought he got a new job.
No, what he did, that's what I was asking. I mean, not we. I'm not from Georgia. But people were saying you need to recuse yourself.
Yes.
But now that the results are up in the air, it's like, oh, so you stepped out of one job and you can't just jump into the next one.
But he wasn't going to be able to keep that job anyway. Once he's the governor, he would have to resign that position.
Right.
And so he believes
he won because his office is overseeing the election.
That's what I was trying to understand. When that came through my news feed, like on my, you know, of current stories or top stories, I was like, wait, was somebody telling him he needed to do that because of all the shenanigans that was going on with the whole election? That wouldn't even be necessary for him to do that. Like, I thought that would already be implied.
So his office had said that since they've reached the 50% threshold, there was no reason for a recount. Since he reached the 50% threshold, there's no need for a recount or a runoff. So the election's over. Mm-hmm. And Stacey Abrams, who's been fighting for democracy, fighting to register voters, fighting to make sure every vote counts, they said, no, there's still vote out there. Mm-hmm. And the largest amount of absentee ballots yet to be counted are from the largest Democratic counties. DeKalb County, the three other most Democratic counties in the state of Georgia.
I'm going to start naming counties. Just I don't know what the counties are.
Where?
I'll just be making Gillette County. Maricopa County.
Like. Maricopa's Arizona. I know. It's Arizona.
Probably Gwinnett, Cobb.
Yeah, Pillsbury.
Probably all those Metro Atlanta ones.
Yeah.
Gwinnett, Cobb, Fulton, DeKalb, Gwinnett,
Cobb, and what's the other
one? Gwinnett, Henry, McDonough, all of those around.
Gwinnett was where most of the fuck shit was happening, where they had like 3 to 4 hour waits.
Mm-hmm. Because they had like three machines in places that were supposed to be processing like, 15,000 voters, 20,000 voters.
Right. And you had places with 6 machines processing 1,000 voters.
Even in Florida, it was reported that polling places were actually co-located in gated communities.
Yes.
And it was a soft way to get your ID checked. And the security guards,
they're so dirty.
The security guards were like, you don't live here.
You can't vote.
So you can't come on the property, even though your polling place is behind the gate. Like, yo.
Folks got to remember.
Florida man needs his ass whipped.
Look, folks need to remember, Florida is more than Miami. And Georgia is more than Atlanta.
Real
clear.
Jemele Hill had her vote purged.
Her name purged from the rolls.
Jemele Hill is a journalist. She's lived in a bunch of different cities, but she keeps a home in Orlando. She pays taxes on that home. She's never rented it out. That is her home base because she moves a lot. So she had a tweet that she'd moved to LA for her job. So she had like a tweet story about, you know, I tweeted and I moved to LA. I'm unpacking, blah, blah, blah. So she's registering. She's making sure she's registered, checking on her polling place. And she checked online for her registration place. Cool, cool. She's like, my spidey sense started tingling. She said, because I want to go back to Florida and vote for Andrew Gillum. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I could vote absentee, but I want to vote for Andrew Gillum in the polling place. Gets off the plane, goes to vote, gives her name, and they say, you are not on the rolls.
Ooh.
She said, excuse me, what? So she goes, calls a number. They're like, oh, we purged you. She said, well, why? She said, oh, because of your tweet. She said, excuse me? She said, I tweet all day.
What are you talking about? Ass.
They said, you tweeted you moved to LA, so we purged you from the voting rolls. She was like, no. I have a home in Orlando. I pay taxes in this state. I am registered in this state.
We'll see what we can do for you. So you know they quick to let you drop you, but so getting back like, on.
They were like, because you're a public figure, we're watching out for public figures. That's what they told her. So they said, your vote will count. They gave her a provisional ballot. Your vote will count, right? Here's the funny thing. Her party affiliation is now out in public. So she thought she was going to outsmart the system. She was like, I'm a public figure. I'm black, so I'm not going to register as a Democrat because I know how they get down. They'll purge me easy. I'm going to register as a Republican because they're not going to purge Republican votes, right? Nope. So she was like, now people know I'm registered as a Republican because I'm trying to game the system and not get purged.
Like that black girl who was taking the money from the...
Because Republicans aren't people.
She's gonna go for me.
That's a whole Christmas miracle in advance. Appreciate her.
We love you. So as of this recording, so much of the midterms has been unresolved, but that doesn't take away from the fact that the Dems take the House. And when the Dems take the House, that means that the power is back with the Democrats. That means the power to investigate is back with the Democrats. So what's interesting is these committees that the checks and balances that exist within the House are now going to be enacted.
Yep.
So
what do you mean by checks and balances?
Well, the U.S. government exists as three. The branches of government are three co-equal branches of government. You have the judiciary, you have the legislative, and you have the executive. They all act as a check on each other.
Mm-hmm.
For the past 2 years, they haven't been doing that.
There's been no check for 2 years.
Yeah. It's been one party rule.
Mm-hmm. It's been one party rule, but it's been one party that has not wanted to check itself.
Mm-hmm.
So now with what they call a divided government, where you have one party in charge of at least one branch of the government, there is an opportunity to be more of a check.
Oh, yes, you're right.
So there are certain committees that are very powerful in the House. You have the Financial Services Committee, which is Wall Street, which is your bank. And that will now be in charge. The chair of that committee will be Auntie Maxine Waters.
Reclaiming her time. I will not yield my time. You are not going
to. Maxine Waters gave a speech about a month ago. Oh, she finna turn up.
She got low IQ. They've been going on her. So
anyway,
yeah. So here we go.
Mind you, she's the first black woman to be in charge of the Financial Services Committee. She gave a speech about a month ago saying that I will be fair. I will do to you what you did to me. So I will remember what you did. I remember when Wall Street sold our people those crappy loans. Mm-hmm. I remember when you devalued our neighborhoods. I remember when you overcharged us for loans. I remember those things.
Oh, it sounded like a sermon.
It did. I think she was in a church.
Oh.
And Wall Street has been sounding the alarm all fall because they knew what would happen if the Democrats.
So much shredding going on. Do you hear it?
The sound of financial records being shredded. But one of the things that she can do as chair of the Financial Services Committee is those requests that she's been making to different banks now become subpoenas.
Mm-hmm.
She's been asking questions of Deutsche Bank.
Those polite requests.
They become legally binding subpoenas.
Subpoenas, not a lie request. Those things hurt.
My
subpoenas
statement.
Hurt. She's...
You finna send me what I asked for.
You gonna give me what I want.
Now. Okay. I feel like she's not even going to like delegate these responsibilities to her interns. I feel like she's going to be calling on her own. Like, I can work this phone. Hello? I asked for you to.
I know you got my letter.
I know you got my letter.
I know you got my letter.
I know you got this letter.
Per my last letter. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing about that is she can subpoena Deutsche Bank, which has significant loans out on Mango Mussolini and his businesses. She can subpoena those things.
Yeah.
That's fun. Elijah Cummings is on the House Oversight Committee, which is in charge of ethics and things like that.
Wasn't that Nunes before?
No, yeah. That's intelligence.
I'm gonna get
there.
Okay. Elijah Cummings is our local congressman for state of Maryland. He drives so slow.
He does.
I've been caught behind him on the hill, and I'd be like, "Bruh, is this an eventual right? How long are you leaving your blinker on?"
I respect the ancestors, but brother, please, I have places to go like, further on the mall
to live here.
Because if you head into a vote, you are chop, nigga. What is going on? Oh, he's so slow. And I remember being like in the behind, I'm like, and I got up and I was like, oh,
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, Honorable. Okay.
But you drive slow. I'm late to work.
All you gotta do is drive around him.
I know. When I was driving around him, I was about to like jaw jack. Like, and I was like, oh, okay. I voted for you.
So Elijah Cummings will be in charge of House Oversight. They've already caught the head of the General Services Administration in a lie about the FBI
building.
What
does House Oversight do?
Basically, ethics.
Okay.
Making sure that the government runs efficiently and ethically. They've already got Department of Interior.
He's gonna be busy.
Oh, they already got the Department of Interior up strung up. They already got Scott Pruitt out of there. Bessie DeVos better wash her ass. Everybody better wash their ass.
Oh, I forgot about her little Valkyrie ass.
The entire.
Don't forget about her.
Don't forget about her.
Her monkey ass is
gutting our whole education system.
So they're on pins and needles. And lastly, Adam Schiff in the House Intelligence Committee. Come back around it. So Adam Schiff is on the House Intelligence Committee. This was headed by Devin Nunes, he's an idiot. He's from California. Oh my God. He's an idiot. He's such an idiot. It should be criminal to be this stupid.
And then didn't his people reelect him?
I believe he won. But so Adam Schiff, who has been essentially dunking and shitting on Devin Nunes for the past 2 years, he is now in charge of House Intelligence Committee. The things that the House Intelligence Committee can do, we'll come back to that. Because after the wonderful night that the Democrats had,
yes,
white people's president got very angry,
and he woke up Wednesday tweaking,
at 4 o'clock in the morning, and was like, "I'm going to have a press conference."
One of the longest press conferences ever.
Did you watch it all, Mike?
So you know when the press conference, like, this is rambling. Affair that, you know, this is like, you know, when you at a gig and Lauryn Hill don't show up and somebody's out there trying to kill time. That's what's happening. Like, this press conference is going nowhere. And then thankfully Jim Acosta he jumped up and tried to ask a question.
Yeah.
Ended up getting his press credentials revoked, which is a huge deal.
Huge.
You can't okay, so we have freedom of the press in this country, mm-hmm. and Jim Acosta did not do anything wrong. He was doing his job.
Yeah.
He's been a White House press. What is it called?
Correspondent.
In the press corps for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Had his press credentials pulled. Sarah Huckabee Sanders released a video
from
InfoWars. Yeah, from a guy who edited a video from InfoWars.
A doctored InfoWars video.
And it was doctored to try to show that he assaulted her,
an intern,
chopped her arm or something. But the video was sped up so that it looked like he was doing something that he didn't do in real time, as if no one saw the press conference.
Just think about this for a minute. The White House press secretary released a doctored video from a conspiracy theory website to justify pulling the press credentials of a journalist.
Yep.
That is where we are.
Can't trust them folks with jazz.
And more so, the point that I was making earlier.
The jazz that's untrustworthy.
That's what it is.
I'm just irritated with other members of the media talking so nicely about what happens.
Like, what do you have to lose?
Just fucking call it.
Like April Ryan in that same press conference was taken to task by Trump. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You know, he gave her the sit down, be wild.
You're a loser.
All of that. Like, what do you have to lose at this point?
Access.
Press. Yeah,
what
press
you get?
They live and die by their access.
He will tweet it.
He will send it to you. Right. He will at you.
Right. He's addicted to the media.
He is. So they're saying, you know, why don't you guys boycott him?
Ignore him.
Ignore him, boycott him, and. At this point, you know, maybe some people think that's too extreme to do. I don't think it's that extreme because I think it's an abusive relationship. But I do think that we are suffering because of what I think is an unholy adherence to, like we talked about, objectivity or not calling a thing a thing. I personally think it's because whiteness doesn't like to indict itself. And when you're talking about a lot of these news media organizations, Don Lemon has made a wave recently by saying that, you know, white men are the largest terrorist group, domestic terrorist group in the United States. He didn't lie, but it's like, where did y'all get all these hours to debate it? Stop that. Move on. You know what I'm saying? So the next thing, like, that shit's true, and then we're going to go talk about something else.
It has
we're
never losing. Not been true. There's no debate.
I just don't. Now, y'all know how I feel, but I don't get it. I don't understand, but sometimes I'm watching shows. I'm even watching shows from commentators that we would think are those, you know, liberal or progressive commentators, but they always stop short of calling that thing as which it were. So it's like, that is some racist shit, or, you know, this is highly inappropriate, or this is unconstitutional, or this is, like, I don't know why we're debating back and forth some of the movements that have been made since Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, he appointed this person, he did this, he did that. We're going to get into those details. That shit's unconstitutional. Say it and move. Like,
because one, they got a, okay, Jeff Zucker, president of CNN, he said he wanted to make the news like SportsCenter. So the way ESPN, remember Around the Horn on ESPN? Mm-hmm. He said he wanted to make the news like that. So that's what he did.
He wanted to ruin it. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's been
ruining it. We got it.
But he wanted to make it, you know, people arguing, and people like that shit. Now, mm-hmm. You don't learn anything from that. In fact, you get dumber from that, because when the argument is both sides are doing it, mm-hmm. The side that doesn't want to function wins.
Yep.
So it is literally that aphorism of never argue with pigs, because
everybody gets dirty
and the pig will like it. So in this instance, it is the conservatives, the Republican Party, they like getting dirty because their philosophical underpinning is government doesn't work. This whole thing doesn't work. So as long as we can argue and fight and I see mean
that
things,
proves
this doesn't work. Democrats, on the other hand, progressives, their philosophical underpinning is government can work. Mm-hmm. It can function. Mm-hmm. But as long as I'm arguing with you over bullshit, I'm not doing the work.
Right.
So, yeah, they want to have the both sides fight. They absolutely want to have the both sides fight. And the media is inclined to it because, like we said, they're a slave to objectivity. The worst thing you can call a journalist is not being is biased.
Right. That's true.
So they sacrifice the truth on the altar of objectivity.
I just don't think it's bias. It is the sacrificing of the truth. Like, if you just affirm what the truth is, and it's not true just because I said it.
No.
Or even because I might agree with whatever is being affirmed. But it's just like, in real time, when you watch the attacks on April Ryan and other black female members of the press corps, you realize that that is an extension of the disrespect of black and female bodies, mm-hmm. You know, in different environments. And this person, 45, is triggered by having to interact with certain groups and certain people and not on his terms.
Yes.
So he is constantly trying to fit people or push them down on a level where he feels like he's over them, and when I see that press corps not respond, or, you know, not just say, okay, enough is enough. I'm saying that's the same thing that you experience on your office job, not even in this industry, where, you know, you're not protected by your colleagues. It's damaging to see, you know. Mm-hmm. She's one of the best that we have to give in that space, who's occupying that space because she's qualified to occupy it. Mm-hmm. It's like, how often is she going to be there without looking at her colleagues and saying, do y'all not see
that's
this?
Just a complicated bowl of mess too, because I know they know. It's like, you know, master's tools whenever dismantle the master's house, because all of this feeds itself, like, yeah. The machine, mm-hmm. feeds itself. So it's like they know how to push the envelope, they know how to say what needs to be said, they know what knows needs to be said, but no one's going to go, they're only going to go but so far, because losing access means they lose traction with their, you know, population, their viewership, their readership, whatever. Right. So then where are we? And it's just like, do I even want to be a part of your readership and your viewership if I don't feel like I'm going to get full on truth? Like, if you're not going to speak truth to power when you have the opportunity right there in front of you, when this, like, important...
like, what moment are you waiting for?
Yeah, like, this important privilege that we have, like, the power of the press and the freedom of the press.
Exactly.
And that's, like, being just so clearly attacked, and you just, like...
They've been hacked.
What is that?
And they don't know how to fix it. Like, I've listened to a lot of, like, veteran political journalists, and they're very honest. Like, Jay Rosen, he was like, political journalism is broken.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah. He's like, I really feel like he's overwhelmed their sensibilities, yeah. because he's had more celebrity type of media training, and not to divert away from what we're, you know, really, mm-hmm. here to talk about, but he's put those skills to work this week.
Very much so.
Where he's like, oh, for real?
I know how you want a story.
I lost the house. Mm-hmm. My candidates that I endorsed lost. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Right.
You're a loser. You're in here assaulting women. You're stupid. That's a stupid... The other black woman asked him whether or not he would deny white nationalism. You called yourself a nationalist, but you see that, you know, that has emboldened other people, yeah. and we've had these violent acts and everything, and will you denounce white? That is so racist of you to I said, God,
shut it down.
Damn.
He who controls the mic wins the argument.
Yeah. And he just, I mean, and but shut it down. Even in that moment you have that visual, because there are people who run around and say that when people of color don't agree with them, that the person of color is being racist towards them. And you just had the president of the United States do the same thing to a qualified member of the media who wasn't asking one way or the other, do you think white people are better than black people? She just said, will you denounce white nationalism for the violence that it can produce?
That it has produced.
And that it has produced.
A week ago.
It is intended to produce a week ago.
That it will continue to produce.
Yeah.
And then the week before that, right?
And the week before that.
Because they did both sides. They did both sides. After the bombs, when Sessions was at his press conference, mm-hmm. and the Christian pastor got up and started quoting scripture at him.
Yeah.
Sessions and called that escorted. An attack. And that became the both sides argument. One person's mailing bombs, the other person's quoting scripture. Both sides are bad.
Crazy.
Both sides.
It's like bizarro world.
It's bizarro world.
Upside down.
It really is. Speaking of Sessions,
so Jefferson,
he's packing
that Keebler elf.
So the racist Keebler elf, also known as Jefferson Beauregard
Sessions.
I do declare.
That's what his name sounds like, a segregated water fountain.
His name owns slaves.
It sounds like a Confederate flag blowing in the wind. Just
like every time Jefferson I hear Ball his God name, sessions. I think of Foghorn Leghorn from the cartoons. I say, boy, what is you doing there?
I said, my favorite tweet said, Jeff Sessions is the only Confederate monument Trump was willing to take down.
I saw that, yeah.
Literally.
So on Wednesday, he requested the resignation of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
How do you do that? How does your boss announce that he has requested your resignation?
Because you serve at the pleasure of the executive.
Bitch, if you don't just say you fired. I want y'all to know I fired him. He's like, no, could you please submit your resignation? If anybody seen Jefferson, he hasn't sent it to me yet. Let him know I'm waiting for it.
Press send on the email.
I'm going to tell the world that I've been waiting for you to send me my message. How do you do that? Like, talk about CC in the world. Right. You know how it's that one person in your office that you like, why you got CC everybody on every little message?
Don't CC the whole office.
45 CC the world and was like, I've been waiting for your resignation, Jeff. You going to send it or...
Jeff was eating his breakfast like, wait, what?
4 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
It's time.
4 o'clock.
Okay, well.
Time just went back, so it's dark.
Per my last email.
CC.
Dear Jeff, speak the name of your press.
Right. CC all the continents. Let them know.
So, Jeff got fired.
Poor thing.
Under normal circumstances, this is not normal. Under normal circumstances, the deputy AG would become AG while another was getting confirmed by Congress,
yes.
An interim AG.
Because your Constitution says that whomever's running it has to be confirmed by the Senate, unless the Senate is in recess. No one reads the Constitution.
Yeah, all primary officials need to be confirmed by the Senate.
Yes. Anyone who reports a cabinet member, like what the hell?
Needs to be confirmed.
Oh my God.
So, because Cheatham Chief doesn't read, we know he doesn't know how to read. We know he's functionally illiterate. He doesn't read, and none of his sycophant lawyers will ever tell him he's wrong. So he just appointed someone who happened to work at the Justice Department,
mm-hmm.
who before this worked at some company to scam people. Before this, his main job was caping for him against the Mueller investigation.
Mm-hmm.
That was his main job. He was a pundit on Fox News giving all the strategies on how to shut down the Mueller investigation. Now he is interim AG.
So,
Charge of the Mueller investigation. The reason that the deputy AG, Rod Rosenstein, was in charge of the Mueller investigation was because Jeff Sessions had recused himself from it because he was involved with the campaign, and the Mueller investigation was investigating the campaign.
But before that, we have a special investigation because we had to resolve the appearance of obstruction,
yes,
through the firing of James Comey.
Yes.
So that didn't go well. So they said, well, just to make sure that we're on the up and up, let's appoint a special investigator to assure the American people that we're fine here.
That there's no obstruction of justice, that that it's fine. Thus far, the illegitimate witch hunt Mueller investigation has over a dozen indictments, over 100 felony charges, has led to the resignation of half a dozen people in the administration or attached to the administration, with indictments coming. So this is kind of like if this were a witch hunt, that's a lot of fucking witches.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot. Like this is bigger than Hocus Pocus. Like this
here we come.
Like this is a lot. They are dropping houses on witches. So, right now, we witnessed was essentially if this person, Whitaker, is in charge of the Mueller investigation. He's given out the playbook how he would shut down the Mueller investigation, right?
He'd starve it for money.
He wouldn't approve any subpoenas. He would not allow whatever report was written to be public or even send it to Congress.
Yeah, he wouldn't approve the charges or something that they would submit.
So it's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Wait a minute.
We're going to read the Constitution.
What's the Constitution?
There is this whole committee in Congress called the House Intelligence Committee.
Yep.
Wow.
And the House Intelligence Committee has subpoena power. And the House
Intelligence Committee. But Devin Nunes is not going to use that.
No, but you know who will?
You know what?
Adam Schiff.
What?
So in January,
that's what I want to do. I want to roll up to the Capitol building and just constantly be out there and be like, boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop. Just solely encourage them. Like, yes! They'll be like, ma'am, you got to go.
Ma'am.
I'm sorry.
It's Capitol the people's building. Like, as long as you got your ID, you straight.
I want to walk through on a tour and do that.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
so in January, when the committees flip and everyone gets sworn in, Adam Schiff will be in charge of the House Intelligence Committee. Mm. He can subpoena Robert Mueller. He can subpoena any report he's written. He can subpoena anyone who was involved in the investigation. And in fact, the firing of the AG could constitute an obstruction of justice charge.
The irony of that.
So beautiful. I just need it to happen, because if it don't,
look,
I swear for God, 62 white people.
So
there's going to be.
So the talk around the campfire is Pelosi, who right now is the minority leader, who would get the gavel back as Speaker of the House.
She don't need it.
She might not face re-election. Like, she might not win re-election.
Pelosi. To be Speaker of the House.
I'm fine with that. Pelosi, I don't want her to have that gavel.
Pelosi and Bernie Sanders can go sit over there. They both, them and this common ground,
dinosaurs,
reconciliation bullshit.
Yeah,
reconcile to what? Common ground where? Where was it ever?
She looks for, like, common ground because she's funded for, to look for.
I know,
ground.
But it's just,
and that's not what we need at this point. You are facing not just an obstructionist party, but a violently. Mm-hmm.
I know that behind closed doors, Maxine has let her have it.
This is what I'm thinking.
And I know
Nancy Ann, I'm tired of your shit. Like,
this is what I'm thinking, though. She can play the face. Mm-hmm. She can play the face. Mm-hmm. She can say, we're looking for common ground on infrastructure, on a farm bill, mm-hmm. on the budget. Those are things that need to happen, mm-hmm. right? While her committee chairs tear them to shreds. Because she can't stop the subpoenas. Yeah.
They're concerned because McConnell even commented on Wednesday, you know, we're not going to have presidential harassment out of the House. Yes, you are.
You better.
You've earned it.
Because you've already circulated a memo about the dozen and a half investigations
right.
that the Democrats are probably going to enact.
Y'all know what's coming.
You've already talked about it.
Turn up.
You tried to scare your donors into saying, hey, if we don't win, this is what's going
to
happen.
You're too stupid to shred everything.
You
we
are.
Will find something.
It's
if Omarosa can record you with a pen,
listen,
I'm confident.
It's dumb.
She still can't come to any cookout.
She sure can. No Christmas dinners.
Nowhere.
No holiday dinners.
No, she didn't do
Kwanzaa
anything.
Kwanzaa celebrations.
But
sit your ass at home, Omarosa.
Juneteenth. Right.
Nothing. She ain't free.
Nah. So, the night that Beauregard was fired, Whitaker was installed, there were protests. All over. It was the break glass in case of emergency. Oh my God, protect Mueller. And they were all over the country. People were shouting and screaming. And it was interesting. It was a nice showing of
900 protests. That's a lot.
900 protests. They've been planning it. They've been planning it since Mueller was installed as the special investigator, mm-hmm. special prosecutor.
Mueller out here like, I'm good.
Mueller better drop that mixtape quick.
He better.
He doesn't show up. I don't know where he is, because they just argued. They just argued for Whitaker not being installed, and that was the lead counsel on that team, but it wasn't Mueller, it was someone else. I don't know
what Mueller sounds like. I don't know what the sound of his voice is. Like, the fact that we live here, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that we haven't heard a thing, there have been no leaks, mm-mm. nothing from this.
It's like Ben Jealous.
It's
you don't never see him.
Bow, bow, bow.
Shade.
Bow, bow, bow.
Before I go, brah, brah, brah. Spray it up.
All right. So, this week there was good news administratively. An appeals court judge ruled that DACA, the deferred action, deferred action?
Children something or other.
Deferred arrival, deferred action, childhood arrivals.
There you go.
The Dreamers. Was found that 45 had discontinued the program, and then the appeals court judge ruled that that was unconstitutional.
Yes.
So that effectively saves the Dreamers.
Mm. Right.
Thank you, Lord.
The Keystone XL pipeline, a judge ruled that they cannot move forward.
Because that whole Keystone pipeline has been a fucking mess.
Yeah, I mean, you figure.
Many spills. Environmental compromises.
It's environmental racism. It's environmental racism.
It absolutely is environmental racism, because it puts undue pressure and poor outcomes on people who aren't even utilizing the end product.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So, right. like, you're putting all this undue burden on them. Mm-hmm. It, like,
but that's exactly what environmental racism is.
It is, and I don't think people always understand that.
In your background, in your backyard.
But then we would have to talk about Brandywine, and don't nobody want to hear that. Nope. Or Brown Station Road.
But that's why climate change is almost the perfectly engineered crisis, because the people who it affects first are the poorest and the least of these.
Yep.
The well-heeled will be the last to be affected. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, they're going to an exoplanet like motherfucking Elysium, and they're gonna leave all poor people here.
Oh my gosh!
That's why they're gonna burn this motherfucker.
You know,
down.
I feel like Hollywood is in cahoots. Like, it could go down like Hunger Games.
We've been telling you this story for a long time.
Like Elysium,
this purge thing. Pay attention.
It can go either way.
Yeah, I feel like we're gonna end up like Hunger Games. So I need to get into archery.
Yeah, you need to get a bow and arrow because that will keep.
And that's why we've been growing food.
Yeah, we good. We told y'all.
Make Killer Mike proud.
Get out there and learn.
Killer Mike was like, y'all not ready.
Y'all not ready for no revolution.
He was like, you can't grow no food. You don't know how to pitch no tent.
And
you
a lot of people have been growing food.
Can you fight? Can you farm? Can you fish? Right. If you can't do any of those, you ain't ready for no revolution.
Well, I can fight, so I'm good with that.
See, there you go. Good.
That's what we all say.
But I don't fish.
So I'm coming
in
to
this area.
House,
can you crab? We just put you a crab pot in a creek. You can have you a dozen of jumbos in the right creek.
Bushels would be $3,000.
Fuck that. They gonna start locking people up. I said that he was stealing crabs out my backyard.
Y'all, so, it might get that bad. I think it will.
Listen,
I really do.
It'll be a dystopia, not an apocalypse. A dystopia.
I really do.
A shittier version of what you used to.
Of like an Octavia Butler novel.
I'm just gonna stay right here in Maryland.
That's okay.
This is the bastion of freedom.
Being on the coast is where it's fitting to be.
Yeah,
popping.
Near all this, I'm fitting to get me a fish and a crab.
The coast is about to be Garrett County. So
oyster even. Listen,
keep going like this.
The whole center of the country gonna be like Mad Max at Thunderdome.
Beach side property and Cincinnati.
Like, where's y'all going? Y'all can't come over here.
They gonna be hunting old people for food and trading oil.
OMG.
It's gonna be like the Book of
right
Eli.
In Baltimore.
It's gonna be the Book of Eli.
It is. I'm telling you. You're gonna be hunting it. Look,
it's gonna be the Book of Chuck Brown.
If they get their way. They get their way.
Yep, because they got plans.
Speaking of shit that's expensive, everybody's favorite young firebrand liberal from the Bronx, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's coming to Congress, and she can't afford to rent in D.C.
Neither can I, sis.
Neither can
we
I.
We could have told her that.
No bull.
Yeah, she's so she doesn't get her check until she starts in January. So she's going to be here for 3 months.
We've all been there.
Without a paycheck. And this is a tough place to be. This is a tough place to be financially, even if you have been here your entire life. People don't retire here.
No.
This is a waste of money to retire in this area where you can get more for your money in places
somewhere
like North Carolina and things like that. So for residents here, it's tough. For someone who is coming here and not, you know, in the system, you know, the job, you know, federal government or whatever, it's gonna take a minute, and she's gonna be all right though. I think
we have this thing called the MARC train. You might have to live in Baltimore.
it was a cute story about kind of highlighting that, oh yeah, like not everyone that goes to Congress is a multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. Like she's a regular she's a regular person.
She's like the Cardi B of the house.
Close. They're almost the same age.
Cardi B adjacent.
Cardi B adjacent. She's Cardi B with a grad degree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're like roughly the same age from the Bronx. She currently has a one bedroom apartment she shares in the Bronx. And she's like, guys, I'm okay. I've been squirreling away money. We kind of anticipated this. What was funny though is Fox News was like, I mean, she's out there with $3,500 outfits. She can't afford rent. She did a photo shoot.
Get your hand out my pocket.
Not
nigga.
Just that. It was a photo shoot where it was for photo shoots, they loan you clothes.
They loan you clothes and they get them back.
And they get them back. Like, she was like, that's cute, but why are you making fun of working class people who can't afford housing?
And it highlights the fact that this government is not equipped to handle working class people entering the government.
Exactly.
We haven't been ready for this. We've been ready for rich donors and backed or PAC backed representatives, mm-hmm. where what you really want are the working class being able to serve in the government. You
in
tell
the
your
people's
children,
house.
You could grow up to be the president of the United States. But if you don't work a well-paying job and you're not, you know, independently wealthy or financially mm-hmm. wealthy through legacy, mm-hmm. maybe, you know,
it's a little tough. Yeah. It can be prohibitive to enter public service if you don't already have a huge nest egg. Mm-hmm. If you're not a Mitt Romney, who's independently wealthy, yeah. who doesn't have that. To work and still can bring in over $100 million a year off of your investments alone.
His hair.
Right. His hair is insured. Mitt Romney's also won his race, so he's coming to Congress too.
Shut up. We get to see Mitt in somewhere.
I wonder which one is coming though. Is the one that doesn't like the president coming, or the one that
the one that likes him is coming
because he said that you can't. He said you really shouldn't impeach a sitting president, and I thought Mittens.
That's the only way impeachment works, boo.
Listen, if you let them tell the story, they'd be like, "What impeachment?
Impeach and remove. Like, don't forget that part." Clinton was impeached. He was not removed.
So that real quick, most likely the House will impeach him before 2020.
Will they remove him?
No, because removal happens in the Senate.
No, damn it.
So the House, because they have the majority, they most likely will be able to impeach him. Mm-hmm. They'll find some charges. Okay. They'll be able to impeach him, but they won't be able to remove him because Mitch McConnell can count to 50. Mm-hmm. And you need 60 to remove. Mm. And no one, I hate Mitch McConnell too. He's up in 2020.
Good. Yeah, and I think that's it. He's probably going to retire just like Ryan did.
He's going to retire with all his
millions. I don't trust anybody without a chin.
I don't either.
Without a chin is a villain.
He looks like a straight up snapping turtle. Yeah. No disrespect to the snapping turtles.
Animated by the ghost of
Walt Disney.
Sorry. I just think that's
He shakes his neck so much. Like, why are you shaking your neck at me?
Because it don't have no bones.
Like, he looks
in
like
it.
A product mascot. Like, he should be on some type of
enjoying in black and white, acting like life is hard. Are you tired of breathing? In and out all day long.
Y'all are going to hell.
100%.
Nuh-uh.
This is worse than me talking about Jowls. Like, I just.
Yeah, but he's awful though.
Like, he's an awful human being.
Where is he gonna go? Where is he gonna retire? He ain't gonna never be able to eat another restaurant ever again.
Hell.
Cause we gonna make sure to give him that work.
He's gonna retire right in hell.
Okay, then. We'll see what happens.
Bullshit.
We're a little
with a little personal fan.
Can we wish RBG a speedy recovery?
Yes, you can have all the vibranium and organs you want.
Yeah, she was offered vibranium on Black Twitter.
Yes.
I swear she already got it, because she is the toughest person. Yo. She broke her ribs in a fall at work and didn't go to the hospital at first. She was like, I'm good.
She's like, nah, I'm good.
Well, the thing about, so RBG, notorious Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
yes.
who's a Supreme Court justice, the thing about broke her ribs in a fall, she's 85.
Three ribs.
And while people think that, you know, she's definitely fulfilled her commitment to the court, she's like, I ain't going nowhere. You ain't fitting to get me out of here. So it's absolutely suspicious that she had this fall right after
somebody
the elections and everything like that. I'm just
moved the chair in her office and she tripped over.
She got a mole working for her on
she
her team.
She only missed one day of work. The day of work she missed,
because there's not much you can do for broken ribs. It's not like you can put them in a cast.
But the day she missed was
Kavanaugh swearing in.
So she basically played hooky and she went to eat pancakes. The cover story is
I fell.
Cracked ribs.
I hurt myself.
Right.
I was at breakfast. Like, sis, I feel
I was eating pancakes.
I do that every 6 weeks.
Pancakes were
me
delicious.
Too.
Right. She is one of the toughest human beings.
She didn't have time for Brett shit. She said, you know what?
You disgust me.
Do you know
me.
What?
I bet you she could survive bone spurs. I heard those were pretty tough. I heard those were difficult to deal with.
Those are tough.
I can't.
They're even harder than surviving
but
not getting VD.
On the off chance that she really did have a hangnail, we wish you a speedy recovery. On the off chance
we
she had an eyelash in her eye.
I know.
We hope you get better.
Y'all, Forever Floatus, her book is finally coming out.
Yes.
Forever Floatus, her book is coming out, and they've had excerpts.
Yes.
A couple excerpts. One, she said she will never forgive Donald Trump.
I wouldn't either.
She said he, because of the attitude and the notion of birtherism that he fomented in the culture that led to, could have led to someone dangerous or someone unhinged.
Yeah, she said kooks and wingnuts.
Right. Getting a gun, coming to my house, harming my children. Like, they took an AR to Comet Pizza. Like, mm-hmm. like those things happen, right? They're going to be under Secret Service protection for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
So she said, for that, I will never forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nope, you shouldn't.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope.
Fuck him. So a lot of other, a lot of really interesting revelations in the book.
Yeah, it's a memoir.
It's a memoir. So she's talking about her issues getting with pregnancy, maternity, how she talking about how she finally learned how normal a miscarriage was, and that wasn't, she hadn't failed, it wasn't a failure on her part, that it was a thing that happens, and that the girls were, they had IVF, and that, you know, she had to do that because Barack was in the state legislature and he was back and forth. So, but it's a personal look, and that coupled with this week Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade had their baby. Dwayne Wade, they had their baby, and she's been very open by surrogate. She's been very open about her challenges with getting pregnant and maternity, and I think that's beautiful because it'll normalize those things.
Yes,
I think that's really, really dope.
That was great.
Wonderful.
I'm looking forward to the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be cheaper than going to.
I hope the dude
Capital One to hear her.
Oh yeah.
I tried to get a ticket and I was like, whoa, Michelle, whoa, Auntie Shell.
Is Beyonce?
I thought we were friends.
Nope, Beyonce's best friend. Got a book.
Okay.
That Jen, I was like, whoa. I'm just going to hear you talk. I'll read the book.
Somebody finna put it on YouTube.
Anyway, I was like, God, I couldn't afford the tickets anyway when them gents came on sale. But get a Stein coin.
Yes, please, please. And I cannot wait until her husband's book comes out. Man.
Who? I'm joking. He already wrote books. Stop being
Black
greedy.
Black Tony. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Stop being greedy.
Just in case you want to feel old, today, this recording, November 9th, 25 years ago, you know what happened?
What happened?
I know what happened.
What happened, Jazz?
Midnight Marauders. Marauders are people that...
One of the best album covers ever. What is it?
That, in this case, we maraud for ears. The Marauders are those that loot.
In this case, we maraud for ears. Midnight Marauders, the third album from A Tribe Called Quest, came out today on the same day that... One of the greatest groups of all time, Bum Rushed Hip Hop.
They just had a concert not too long ago.
They did. The anniversary. And
they won that Logic record too.
They were
so
all
Wu-Tang enter the 36
Chambers. Enter the 36 Chambers.
I still don't know what the fuck that means. It was just too complicated for me. All I knew was I had been to Staten Island once. I was concerned. I painted a mural. Some little badass white kids threw some shit at us while we was painting the mural. Mm-hmm. Got on the bus, came back to Manhattan, vowed never to go back.
I was like, so
you're going to have to come see me, meth.
There was so much. There was so much, like, was it Divine Mathematics on that album?
Yeah.
It's too much.
Like, it was a lot.
Wow. Trickery with them numbers.
They also, I guess, maintain the tradition of Black people loving karate and kung fu. Because, I mean,
that's what it was.
We were in a drought after Bruce Leroy.
That was the thing. Because they said growing up, like,
Black Belt Theater.
They all grew up poor. So they would go down to the Dollar Theater and watch kung fu flicks all day.
I watched Black Belt Theater on Saturday mornings with my siblings.
Yes,
I did.
I busted many a head.
Shaw Brothers movies.
I remember my brother straight up made a pair of nunchucks.
Yo, with the hanger, you take the white part of the hanger from the.
He made something complicated because I used one of those when they tried to get me and tie me up in my shirt, put me in a closet. Not today, bitches. quack, 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 quack. It sure did.
Me and my brother made nunchucks out of hangers and string.
I was just teaching my son how to use nunchucks for Halloween.
No one.
I showed him the fake Bruce Lee video playing ping pong.
Yeah.
Which you gotta like you gotta think that that's real and it's amazing. And right. he's playing ping pong. He's winning against two people with it. Like this is incredible.
I just want y'all to be clear. None of y'all need nugs. Know how to use no damn nunchucks.
I know how to use nunchucks.
No, you don't. In theory.
Listen.
If you haven't popped yourself in the mouth, you a whole lie.
No one I know has ever had to use nunchucks.
So everyone want to think that they can do it, and then they pop right in your mouth. You ain't even good like that. Your rhythm's off.
I don't even know if nunchucks are historically accurate.
It doesn't seem either. Like it.
I don't think so. Like
it seems like they're easy to avoid. They're kind of short. They don't have
it was something created for the movies.
That's a dumbass weapon. Like,
I was watching Bruce Lee and everyone just ran straight into the end of the nunchuck. Wait a minute. Who choreographed this?
Why?
Like it's not even a far reach. Like in terms of like.
Of all the weapons you could grab, you grab the wooden sticks with the chain in them?
The hardest to control. You don't know. Where they are.
would you get that's the force all right. or something?
Bruce Lee had me as a believer.
He did.
He's sexy. I had a game with him babies. All my cookies.
It's
all
so much.
But yeah, so happy anniversary to Midnight Marauders and Into the 36 Chambers. They gave us Meth. They gave us
Hey Old Harold. They gave hey, Russell.
Ghostface.
Like, give them all their RZA, names.
RZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspector Deck, and M.E.T. It gave us all of it. It gave us all of it, man.
Method Man.
He tried really hard. Thank you.
He's the gift that keeps giving.
I mean, look.
Clifford
he's been
tried.
All up in the shape better.
It is Clifford. Not I said
y'all like what y'all good. Like, and I love it too because he's gotten better as an MC. He's gotten better. As
he
an
has
actor.
Gotten better every year. Meth gets better as an MC.
He's the only grown man that I know that sucks his thumb still. That I'm still like, yeah.
I've never seen
he sucks his thumb.
Oh, he looks does. Like it.
Oh, okay. Remember, he
used to do crazy shit when the Takao album was out.
He was actively trying to not be a sex symbol, like with crazy like hair.
And it was not working.
Too much.
It was not working.
Sucking his thumb. Nope. Still love you.
Didn't work.
It's not working.
You messed up when you did that Mary J. Blige video.
Yeah, oh, man.
You there for me? Okay, then. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna act right. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
This was a great series of episodes.
I made a series. This is nice.
Yay.
Like I feel like I got a little hope and some work to do. Some things to be mindful of.
Yes.
Some shit to share.
Yes.
Like I'm good. Make sure y'all go and confirm those provisional ballots.
Yeah, I was worried as we were going through this because I was like, well, this doesn't look hopeful. But then after seeing the results, I was like, wait a minute, we actually did.
Yeah, we did good.
Got a Palestinian refugee, a Somali immigrant.
And that's the thing that's so great about this election.
All types of diversity.
Yep. Of all of the press that we've gotten, the thing is, our country has never been represented this much by people that look like us. Like we have more representation that looks like America now than we've ever had before.
Yep.
We had more women. We had a record number of women. We had minorities. We had indigenous people. We had Asian Americans.
MMA fighters.
It's crazy. Like this is the direction that we should be going. And I feel like because we did the series, we moved the country there. So
we did.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
It wasn't easy.
Follow us in these streets. SoundCloud, iTunes, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Thank you. Jazz hands out.
Peace.
You a bomb.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.